Welcome to the Danny Picard Show, Thursday, October 25th, 2018, broadcasting from the Beantown, USA studio. Beantown, USA is Boston's home for customized screen printing and embroidery. Get more information on their website, beantownusa.com. On today's show, I will react to games 1 and 2 of the World Series. The Red Sox win both of the first two games at Fenway. They have a 2-0 lead over the LA Dodgers, and now we head to Los Angeles for games 3, 4, and if necessary, game 5. But this could be a sweep. I will tell you why in just a moment. I will also preview week 8 in the NFL. I'll give you my DraftKings gotta have them play for Sunday's slate. And then I will close out the show, as I do every Thursday, with picks for week 8. 5 games in the NFL as part of the Podcast 1 Sportsnet Challenge. So we got a lot to talk about before I leave for LA tomorrow. I'm leaving Friday morning. So let's get to it. Today's show is presented by DraftKings. Play for free at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C. That's promo code PICK, P-I-C. And at DraftKings, you can draft a new team every week with no season-long commitments. And it's week 8 in the NFL, so sign up right now for the $1.25 million play-action contest for Sunday's week 8 slate. $1.25 million in total prizes, with $100,000 going to first place. Just pick your team and follow the action live on your DraftKings app. And again, play in this contest for free by signing up using promo code PICK, P-I-C, at DraftKings.com. Today's show is also presented by BetOnline. Sign up today at BetOnline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline.ag. With college football, the NFL, and the World Series underway, this is the perfect time to make your online wagers at BetOnline.ag and take full advantage of the best bonuses in the business. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, BetOnline.ag. AG, welcome to the show on this Thursday, October 25th. I'm all jacked up because the Red Sox right now have a bullpen that I don't think anybody in this town expected them to have. Forget about the postseason. Let's just talk about the first two games of the World Series. The story through the first two games, the Red Sox lead the World Series now 2-0 with a 4-2 win on Wednesday night, last night, in Game 2. The story of the World Series through two games is the Red Sox bullpen. It's the Red Sox bullpen. It's Joe Kelly being lights out. It's Nathan Eovaldi now being the team setup man. And it's Craig Kimbrell no longer tipping his pitches, apparently. But really, I think it's all about confidence for all of these guys. Now, maybe not so much Eovaldi. I mean, Eovaldi, we know how hard he throws, and I don't think I've ever seen Eovaldi not have confidence. But for guys who have struggled down the stretch, Joe Kelly, Craig Kimbrell, you know, Kimbrell who always likes to make it interesting, these guys right now are throwing with conviction, they're pitching with confidence, and then to begin Game 2 on Wednesday night, you once again got that same conviction from your starter, from the Red Sox starter. David Price picks up another postseason win as a starting pitcher. But really, you know, David Price, look, that's a great story, too, the way he's turned things around as a starting pitcher in the postseason, going back to Game 5 of the ALCS, and how great he looked closing out the Houston Astros in Houston. But, you know, you look at Price and how he moved it into the World Series and had a nice start in Game 2 and gets another win. But really, the story is the bullpen. It's the Red Sox bullpen. That's the story right now. So you're looking at this series. You're now going to L.A. They'll have today off, Thursday off. Game 3, Friday night. Rick Porcello on the mound for the Red Sox. He will go up against righty Walker Buehler for the Dodgers. And then Saturday, I'm assuming it's going to, I mean, depending on where they go with Eovaldi, if they come, I mean, I assume Eovaldi might just remain the setup man, though. Joe Kelly is pitching well right now. You know, so let's see where they go for game four. And the game four starter, I would go with Eovaldi. You know, if you have to keep Eovaldi out of game three to start him in game four, I would think about doing that. Now, they're obviously not going to throw Chris Sale out in game four. You go back to game one with Chris Sale, and he was taken out there after a leadoff walk in the fifth inning. And, you know, Sale is obviously battling something with the shoulder. We're going to find out that it. I think we're going to find out it's something fairly serious when the World Series is over. But, you know, I think you go back to game one, that fifth inning in which Chris Sale was taken out. He wasn't arguing with Alex Cora. I think if that's a healthy Chris Sale after a leadoff walk in the fifth, I think he's arguing being taken out there. I think he's upset, but Chris Sale wasn't upset. I think he's battling something. I think he understands it. I think everybody understands it at this point. And so because of that, you're not going to see Chris Sale start game four. So who do you go with? I would keep Eovaldi away from game three and go with Eovaldi to start game four. That's what I would do. Now, they have other options. You know, you have Eduardo Rodriguez. You now have Drew Pomeranz, who's on the roster. But do you really want to give Drew Pomeranz a start in the World Series? Just because you added him to the roster? No, I don't want to do that. I'm going with Eovaldi. That's what I'm doing in game four. So, game three, I think right now, you got Joe Kelly pitching great out of the pen. So, you got to use him. The Red Sox right now are a team that if this bullpen continues to pitch like this, they're not going to lose a game in this series. If the Red Sox bullpen continues to pitch like this, the Dodgers have no shot, I don't think. They have no shot. Now, this is me assuming that the starting pitching is going to be good enough to keep them in a game in the middle to late innings, right? And that the Red Sox offense is going to be good enough to put some runs on the board in the first four or five innings. So, you know, the Dodgers are in a tough spot. I told you coming into this World Series that they have holes in their lineup. They do. Dave Roberts can make all the changes and moves that he wants. The Dodgers have holes in their lineup. Way more holes than Houston does. I think more holes than the Yankees do. And you look at the Red Sox, they beat the Yankees, and then they beat Houston. And the Dodgers, just to me, they don't match up. Dodgers are a good team, but they don't match up with Houston or even really the Yankees, in my opinion. So now you go to LA. I think the Dodgers are hoping to just get out of the cold. They were rattled. They had like the heater going in the dugout. I mean, it was cold, but we've seen colder nights at Fenway in October, have we not? We have. But those guys, I mean, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the cold. And they were rattled by it. But now they go to sunny LA. And it's going to be like 85 degrees and sunny on Friday. You know, you're in the 80s, you get some nice weather. Maybe this is where the Dodgers figure out, maybe they get to Rick Porcello. Porcello sometimes likes to keep it high in the zone. This Dodgers team's a home run hitting team. They like the long ball. Maybe game three will be their game. Warm weather, you know, somebody who likes to keep it up in the zone. Maybe that's their game to get a couple early home runs. And maybe they don't even let the Red Sox bullpen have a shot to hold a lead. You know, that's really the Dodgers' only hope if this Red Sox bullpen pitches the way it does. But if the Dodgers can't do that, and this Red Sox bullpen pitches the way it's been pitching in the first two games, the Dodgers have no shot. This thing's going to be done in four. This is going to be a clean sweep. Clean sweep. Now, I told you coming into the World Series, my prediction was Red Sox in five. I am going to stick to that prediction. I do think the Dodgers are going to get one in the next two. I think the Dodgers are going to get game three for the reasons I just mentioned. I think that Porcello might keep some up in the zone. The Dodgers are going to like getting back to the warm weather. They're going to be swinging for the fences. I think they're going to hit a couple home runs early, maybe get a 3-4-run lead. And, you know, then they're going to rely on their bullpen. My advice to the Dodgers would be, you know, Baez, maybe try to roll him out as much as you can and stick with him as long as you can. Something, you know, they didn't do in game one, but I actually didn't have a problem with them going to Wood in that spot, to be honest. I mean, I know people want to crush him, Dave Roberts, for that. I don't know that I had a problem with that move, but look, it's been an exciting first two games. The Sox lead it 2-0. You go to game two last night, and once again, the story was the bullpen, but David Price, you can't ignore him, gets his second win of the postseason, six innings, Three hits, two runs, two walks, five strikeouts. He is confident. He gets a big out or a big strikeout. He's turning around, nodding his head, talking to himself, going, yep, yep, that's it. That's the one. That's me. I got it. I'm David Price. I make $31 million a year. You know, that's the type of confidence you're paying him to have in games like this, in these type of starts, especially at home. Fenway Park, a place that he loves to pitch. So, I mean, David Price is great right now. He really is great. J.D. Martinez in game two, a huge two-run single with bases loaded in the fifth inning that broke a 2-2 tie and gave the Red Sox a 4-2 lead that because of their bullpen they held on to and won the game 4-2. But it was that J.D. Martinez at bat, to me, that, you know, it's kind of, you want to talk about the identity of a team right now? To me, the identity of this Red Sox team is an aggressively confident team. And I think that J.D. Martinez at bat signified that, just was a perfect example of that identity. Right? An aggressively confident team. Ryan Madsen relieves Ryu with bases loaded in a 2-1 game. Dodgers have a 2-1 lead. Bases loaded. Ryan Madsen comes in and he walks Steve Pearce with the bases loaded that scores Christian Vasquez to tie the game at 2 in the fifth inning. Then J.D. Martinez comes to the plate and it's like, all right, what are you going to do now? You're not going to walk another run in. You got to throw a strike. The problem was, I mean, Madsen couldn't throw strikes. So he walks the base. He walks a guy with the bases loaded, scores a run and ties the game at 2. Then J.D. Martinez gets up. First pitch is a ball. So Martinez is a 1-0 count, bases loaded, against the reliever who seems rattled and just walked in a run and can't throw strikes. You would think that the normal strategy for anybody in this league would be make them throw a strike first before you take a hack, especially if it's 1-0 in the count. J.D. Martinez, not thinking taking a strike. He's thinking, if I see anything over the plate, I'm taking a hack at it because this guy needs to find the strike zone against me. That's an aggressive approach, right? That's an approach that you only have if you're swinging with confidence. We saw J.D. Martinez in game one. He's been great against Clayton Kershaw. You can make the argument that he owns Clayton Kershaw, right? We saw that. J.D. Martinez, you can make the argument, is the MVP of the American League, of all of baseball, right? I know Mookie Betts, because of all the things he does in the field, I know he's going to get those votes. But, I mean, J.D. Martinez, the type of season he's had, over 40 home runs, the RBIs. You know, this guy has come to the Red Sox and has given them the long ball again. And that's something that they desperately missed, you know, in the big moments, especially in the postseason the last couple of years. So, Martinez, with confidence, a 1-0 count, bases loaded, 2-2 game, game two of the World Series. Fifth inning, a reliever on the mound that can't throw strikes. The count is 1-0. The approach, aggressive. The 1-0 fastball kind of painted the inside corner, but it was over the plate enough where Martinez took a hack and he puts it the other way. It drops in, two-run score, a two-run single with bases loaded for J.D. Martinez in as an aggressive approach at the plate that you're going to see in that type of spot in this league. And it is the perfect example of what this Red Sox team is right now. An aggressively confident group. It's their identity. It's why they're winning. Not just when they're coming up with the big hits, but also getting the big outs with their guys on the mound. From David Price having confidence, being aggressive up there, not being afraid to throw inside. You got the bullpen, Joe Kelly. To even Nathan Eovaldi, now to Craig Kimbrell, they're aggressive, and they're confident, and they're winning because of it, and that Martinez at bat was a perfect example. They get the 4-2 lead, they hold on, they win it 4-2, they have a 2-0 lead in the World Series. You can go back to game one with an 8-4 win the night before then, on Tuesday night, and look at Andrew Benintendi. You talk about confidence and swagger. I mean, Benintendi makes the nice catch in left field, looking like Air Jordan in game two last night. But game one was probably even more impressive for Benintendi. He went 4-for-5 with an RBI and 3 runs scored in his first World Series game. Not a bad night at the dish for Benintendi. You also get Rafael Devers in game one, with a huge RBI single in the fifth that gave the Red Sox a 5-3 lead. And then they pinch hit for Devers with Eduardo Nunez. I wasn't really loving the move at the time because you know I'm high on Devers, and I tell you, you should never take this kid out of the lineup. But you talk about aggressive, you talk about confidence, Alex Cora pushing all the right buttons, puts Nunez in, and Nunez hits a pinch hit, 3-run home run in the seventh inning of game one to make it 8-4, gives the Red Sox a little cushion. Nunez down and in, he went golfing for it, just got out, a line drive into the monster seats, Nunez with the pinch hit home run. And, you know, this Red Sox team right now, from the manager to the batting order to the pitching staff, they're all getting it done. And they're confident and they're aggressive and they're winning because of it. Now they go to L.A. with a 2-0 lead. I think the Red Sox win it in five. I'm going to be out there for it. So make sure you follow me on all forms of social media. Keep listening to the show. Subscribe to the show. Follow me on YouTube. We got some content coming for you. There's so much, like Podcast One, they have their studio out there at Beverly Hills. So we're trying to do something in their studio Saturday. If we don't do that, I'm trying to record something from Dodger Stadium. Worst case scenario, I just, you know, barge in with my cell phone and just start taking videos and getting audio with my phone. I mean, I have microphones and everything, but sometimes, you know, you get the World Series and someone like myself, even though I broke the biggest story in Major League Baseball in the last couple of years, sometimes they don't want to give you enough credit to even give you a media credential. But, I mean, you know, I'm used to it by now. Like, that doesn't rattle me anymore. I'm used to it. I'm used to these guys not taking me seriously. But I will walk into Dodger Stadium like Conor McGregor with the arms swinging. I'll be walking by Peter Gammons as he's tweeting some political bullshit, you know, and I will walk by him like McGregor. And then I'll finish it off like Khabib, too, if they really want to bring it there. But no, seriously, we're going to L.A. I'll be out there for games 3 and 4. And yep, game 5, I think it'll happen on Sunday night. And I think that's when the Red Sox will win the World Series. I think they'll win it in game 5 on Sunday night. And that'll be quite the day, won't it? That'll be quite the day. So I'll be out there for it. Again, keep following me. I'll have some content for you. Even if the content is just me yelling into my phone to you as the Red Sox are winning the World Series. Even if that's the only content I give you, that's content enough for you that you should want to pay attention to it, subscribe, follow, hit me up on social media. But it's a big week. It's going to be an even bigger weekend. I don't think the Dodgers really have a shot to get back into the series, even if they win game 3, because then I don't think they'll win game 4. I don't. If they do happen to win 2, that means they'll be coming back to Boston for at least game 6. And at that point, you know, that's where you get back into sale Price. But you know what? Look at this. You know, Price starts game 2, right? What's that? Wednesday night. You have Thursday off. Friday game 3. Saturday game 4. Technically, you could start Price in game 5 on Sunday night on short rest. And would you really have a problem with it? Seeing how Price pitched against Houston in game 5 on the same amount of rest, short rest, 3 days rest. I think I would feel comfortable, confident. And I think that the Red Sox maybe should do it in game 5. If Chris Sale isn't, you know, if Chris Sale isn't healthy, right? If he's not feeling right, then maybe they start Sale. And then they have Price. There's so many things that they could do if they really wanted to try and close it out in game 5. It's not an all-hands-on-deck situation, game 5, if you're up 3-1. But I think starting Price on short rest, if Chris Sale isn't feeling good, I think Price on short rest is something to think about. I'm being dead serious. And I never thought I would feel that way about Price comparing him to Chris Sale. But I'll be honest, I haven't really felt great about Sale. You know? I mean, it wasn't brutal in game 1. But I think the way that he reacted to coming out of that game after a leadoff walk in the 5th told me everything I needed to know about Chris Sale's health. And I go back to the game, you know, that game against the Yankees that he had in the ALDS. Well, he was pulled from that game at a time where I'm like, eh, the Chris Sale that I know wouldn't be happy to come out of the game at that point, right? Something's up with Sale. And if it's something to the point where you think you have a better chance of Price right now with his confidence on short rest, seeing how he pitched on short rest against Houston, if you want to give Sale a little extra rest and have like a, if necessary, game six extra rest at home for Chris Sale, maybe you do that. Unless, you know, I'm trying to think out loud here and factor everything in. It's like, well, maybe Chris Sale wants to pitch in the warm weather in L.A. in game five. And maybe that's a factor. Maybe the warm weather. Maybe it's just a little tendonitis or something. Maybe the warm weather will help, you know, get his miles per hour and his velocity up to 96, 97. Maybe that's the thing. You know, we'll see how they handle it. But the biggest decision, and I talked about this on Monday's show, is how J.D. Martinez needs to be used now that you go to L.A., right? And we already went over this. I mean, how much time do you want to spend on it? J.D. Martinez is the DH. You go to the National League ballpark. You lose the DH. The pitcher needs to hit. So what do you do with J.D. Martinez? You got to put him in the field. Where do you put him? You know, you could look at Jackie Bradley Jr. and some of the struggles that he's had in the World Series. And but it's, again, small sample size. Jackie Bradley Jr. had some huge hits in the Astros series, but you also factor in Jackie Bradley Jr.'s defense. In my opinion, and I told you this on Monday. I already did this on Monday's podcast. I'm keeping the outfield the way it is. I'm not touching the outfield. I'm having Benintendi in left, Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, Mookie Betts in right. I'm not touching it. I'm keeping Bradley Jr. there, and I'm keeping Mookie Betts in right. I'm not moving Mookie Betts to second base. I know Mookie Betts entered the Red Sox organization, entered their farm system as a prospect, as a second baseman. I know that. But that doesn't mean... You could tell me Mookie Betts would be a gold glove second baseman right now. It's not about what Mookie Betts could do at second base if he was there. To me, it's more about... I know what he can do in right field. And I know the type of catches that he makes. And the amount of runs that he has saved this team in this postseason going back to the Houston series. So, I don't want to take Mookie out of right. I want to leave the outfield intact. So what do you do with J.D. Martinez? You're not putting J.D. at second. You're not putting J.D. Martinez at third. You put him at first. To me, that's obvious. I just think it's so brutally obvious. And people say, well, he's never played first base before. And I say, come on, you won 93 games last year. You won 93 games. Excuse me, in 2016, you won 93 games with Hanley Ramirez as your first baseman. He played 133. Hanley Ramirez played 133 games at first base. And you won 93 games. You can't give J.D. Martinez a cup of coffee at first for a couple games in L.A. and have a chance to win? Of course you can. This isn't about this is more about J.D.'s bat in the lineup. You got to find, you're not going to take that out. You're keeping it in. That's a guarantee. It's just, you know, where are you putting him in the field? To me, you put him at first base. How difficult could that be? If Hanley Ramirez can do it, J.D. Martinez can do it. You know, in previous World Series, you had to put David Ortiz there when he went to the National League ballpark. And he did it. And he was fine. And you could say that David Ortiz played first base when he was with the Twins before he came to the Red Sox in 2003. But come on now. David Ortiz was a DH, okay? And that's all he was. He was fine at first base. But I still go to the Hanley Ramirez thing. Because Hanley Ramirez, and I wrote this in a column in today's Boston Metro newspaper. It's about how the Red Sox need to put J.D. Martinez at first in L.A. That's what I would do. Now, here's what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to take Jackie Bradley out and move Mookie to center and put J.D. in right. That's what I think they're going to do. But what they should do, and I think this is a simple solution, is put J.D. Martinez at first, because my take is if Hanley can do it, J.D. can do it. Hanley Ramirez is the type of guy, what did we criticize him for all the time? For being lackadaisical, for not really caring, you know. What is J.D. Martinez? J.D. Martinez is a competitor. J.D. Martinez is somebody that, you know, is diligent when it comes to just being a student of the game. They talk about how much he works so hard at his craft. How he tries to perfect his craft, the video he watches, the notes that he takes, things that he studies in this game. J.D. Martinez can't figure out how to play first base? Come on. J.D. Martinez can probably be a better first baseman than Hanley Ramirez. I don't care that Hanley played third and was a shortstop. All right? I don't care. I'm not asking J.D. Martinez to play the hot corner. I'm not asking him to play that side of the infield. I'm asking him to play first base. He'll be fine. I'd like to think we'd reach a point of the season. This is a point of the season. Game 3 of the World Series. Where if you're J.D. Martinez, you walk into the manager's office and you say, I get it, I'm a DH. I know you have a tough decision to make, but I'm letting you know I will play anywhere you want me to play. Right? Like, I'd like to think we've reached a point of the season right now that this is the point where a guy like that could talk to the manager and say, put me wherever you want. We need 2 wins. Put me wherever the fuck you want. You want me to play first base? I've never played before, but how hard can it be? Believe me, I'm a pro athlete. I can figure it out. I know how to catch. Right? I know how to catch. I can get, there's a ball hit to my right. I can get a little dirty. I can underhand a ball to a pitcher on the run trying to cover first base. I can handle this. Oh, you need me to stretch? I can do a little stretching. J.D. Martinez should be playing first base. I think it's simple. What, you're going to move Mookie to second? You're going to take Jackie Bradley's defense out in a National League park? You should do it to take Steve Pearce out of the lineup. Steve Pearce can be a right-handed pinch hitter for you. You're going to have to make more moves in the National League park with the pitches hitting. You need another right-handed pinch hitter. You know, you could start Nunez at second if you wanted to get his bat in. You know, I don't really love Kinsler in the lineup. So you want to get Nunez at second? You don't feel comfortable with Kinsler as a pinch hitter? Steve Pearce is your guy. Right-handed pinch hitter. You make that move late, then maybe late in the game. You're moving Mookie to center. And that's where you put Pearce at first, right? And you're putting JD back out and right. You make that move in the sixth or seventh inning. I just think the starting lineup, JD Martinez is in it. I'm keeping the outfield intact. Now, if I had a bet, I wouldn't bet that they do that. I bet that they do take Jackie Bradley Jr. out. But I think if you want to maximize the potential of this Red Sox roster, I think the move you make is a simple one. You put J.D. Martinez at first base. I think it's simple. We've seen this organization put the DH at first in the past. You've seen other teams do it. It's just the move is first base. Don't overthink it. Anything else is overthinking it, in my opinion. Anything else is overthinking it. And how do you know Jackie Bradley Jr. doesn't have a couple more big hits in him? He does. Who has more big hits in him, Jackie Bradley Jr. or Steve Pearce? I wouldn't put my money on Steve Pearce. I wouldn't, even though they love hitting him third. They love hitting him right in the heart of the order. Nice acquisition for the team. But, I mean, if you have a chance to get JD in the lineup to sit Steve Pearce over Jackie Bradley Jr., I'm sitting Steve Pearce and putting JD at first. So, I hope they do it. I don't think they will, but I hope they do. So, that's going to be the story heading in. To the series that shifts now to Los Angeles. And I will be leaving tomorrow morning, on Friday morning, and I will be providing some content for you. I'll definitely be at Game 4. I'll definitely be at Game 4 on Saturday night. And then if necessary, I'll definitely be at Game 5. Game 3, we're up in the air on that. Up in the air on that. So, again, keep following me. I'll have some updates for you. But that's who we stand with the World Series. The Sox up 2-0. And games 3, 4, 5, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night with Monday off, if necessary. Tuesday, Wednesday, back here at Fenway with Game 7 Wednesday on Halloween night. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. I don't think it will get to that point. Again, I think the Red Sox close it out in 5. I think the Dodgers will take Game 3. So, there you go. There you go. And we might go to the Rams game on Sunday. The Rams are hosting the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. And what are the Rams? The Rams are 9-point favorite in this game or something? The Rams, no, 8.5. Excuse me, 8.5-point favorite. Rams are an 8.5-point favorite. And I think that's the largest spread that Aaron Rodgers has ever seen as an underdog in his career as a starting quarterback, right? So the Rams are rolling. The Packers are in L.A. That game, 4:25 Eastern time, but obviously 1 25 West Coast time. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll try to catch the first half of that one, right? Get in for the first half, then get to a potential game five if they have it. But when you do look at NFL Week 8, might as well get into it now, right? Four teams will have a bye in Week 8. San Diego, Dallas, Atlanta, and Tennessee, they have a bye. We do have a game in London early on, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, 9:30 start. Philly versus Jacksonville in London. And then you get Week 8, which begins tonight on this Thursday night, with Houston hosting Miami on Thursday Night Football. The Texans, a 7.5-point favorite. So I think that here in New England, as the Patriots are now in sole possession of first place in the AFC East at 5-2, the Dolphins in second place at 4-3. You'll see a lot of people around here rooting for Houston in this Thursday night game. And then the Sunday night football game of the week is Minnesota hosting New Orleans. The Vikings, a 1-point favorite. That should be a good one. And then Week 8 ends with Monday Night Football, the Patriots in Buffalo against the Bills. The Patriots, a 14-point favorite in this one as I'm recording this show. All eyes from a Patriots perspective on Rob Gronkowski, who did not play in the last game, but the Patriots still ended up going into Chicago and winning. All eyes on the Patriots defense as well. But this should be an easy win for the Pats. This should be an easy win, you know, hence the 14-point spread, 14-point favorite on the road in primetime on Monday Night Football. I'm going to have to watch this one on the flight home. We're flying home from L.A. Monday night. So I'm a little disappointed that I won't be able to sit on the couch and watch this one. But this one could be over by the end of the first quarter. It could. Could be over by the end of the first quarter. So that's Week 8 will end with the Patriots and the Bills in Buffalo, Monday Night Football, Patriots 14-point favorite. I'll get to that with my picks, because I do have that as part of my picks. But one storyline in the NFL that you're going to see now the next couple days and through the weekend and into early next week is the trade deadline. The NFL trade deadline is kind of a thing now. Wasn't always a thing. It's kind of a thing now. Right? Last year, the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo right before the trade deadline. This year, we've seen a couple moves already. Amari Cooper has been traded to Dallas. Oakland trades Cooper to Dallas for a first-round pick. So Dallas gets that receiver, not having Dez Bryant this year. Dallas on the bye week, they get their receiver for a first-rounder. You ask yourself, what's Oakland doing? Players in that organization, I guess, are criticizing Derek Carr. They're questioning his toughness. And then you get some people stepping out for Derek Carr going, oh, look at all these injuries he's had. He's tough. Look, I don't know if Derek Carr is tough or not. What I do know is he just lost a key weapon. And now the Oakland Raiders have lost a couple key weapons. You go back to the Khalil Mack trade. And now Amari Cooper. And it's like, what are you doing if you're Oakland? What are you doing if you're John Gruden? Like, what exactly are you doing? The Raiders right now, they are 1-5. I get it. John Gruden signed, a 10-year deal? Is he looking at this thing long-term? Like, here's some moves that we can make. You know, get some picks. Get some good young players. I know I'm here for 10 years. I mean, if you're an NFL coach, GM, I don't really think you can look at it that way. Right? I don't think you can look at it and go, hey, I'm here 10 years. Like, let's rebuild. Rebuild? Like, it's one thing to rebuild if you're the Giants, right? They don't have a young quarterback. Their quarterback's terrible. You know, they just drafted a young running back. You might want to draft a young quarterback at some point. Like, you're kind of rebuilding. If you don't have the quarterback, you need a new one, you need a young one, you're rebuilding. Derek Carr, he's young enough. This is your franchise quarterback. You get a young enough receiver, young enough defensive player, Khalil Mack. I mean, to rebuild with the pieces that you had is a little strange. So, I don't necessarily know what Oakland's doing. I don't know that anyone does. I don't know that John Gruden knows what he's doing. But the storyline in the NFL is the trade deadline. It's next Tuesday, October 30th at 4 o'clock Eastern time. The other name that's out there, Arizona Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson. He wants out of Arizona, reportedly. Now, the Cardinals are terrible. Arizona Cardinals, 1-6. They play the 1-6 49ers this week. Arizona and San Fran in Arizona. The Cardinals at home, a one-point dog at home against the 1-6 49ers. How bad is Arizona to be a dog at home against another 1-6 team? Right? So, I can understand. I can feel Patrick Peterson's pain. The question I have is, when does Arizona trade Larry Fitz? And I know Larry Fitz says, I don't want to get moved, this, that, the other thing. But, I mean, I almost would respect Larry Fitz more if he did tell someone in the organization, hey, guys, I want to win. I want out. Like, I feel like I would respect Larry Fitz more if he did that. When, maybe he does it privately. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to look like a bad dude to everybody in Arizona. That's his home. That's his franchise. You know, he's the guy for the Cardinals organization. So he's basically the spokesman, right? I mean, he doesn't want to come off being the guy demanding a trade. Well, maybe they can do something privately. He can say, guys, hey, can you move me? I want to win a ring. You know, can you just send me to New England? Can you send me to, I don't know. I mean, send me to the Rams, right? send me to Minnesota. Send me somewhere. Send me to Green Bay. Maybe the Packers have a shot. Send me somewhere other than Arizona. I'm waiting for the Larry Fitz rumors to start up between now and next Tuesday. But that'll be a major storyline in the NFL here over the weekend, through the weekend, and into early next week, which I guess brings me to my picks, right? Brings me to my picks for week 8, and I will begin with my DraftKings Gotta Have Him Play for Sunday slate. Sign up today at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C, to play for free with your first deposit. Last week, I gave you Jarvis Landry, and he ended up crushing it late in that game and had almost 30 DFS points for you on DraftKings. So I nailed it there. I also gave you Matt Ryan the week before, who had a very good week. So I've had a couple really good DraftKings gotta have them plays for Sunday slates. And this week, in week 8, my DraftKings gotta have him play is Jared Goff, quarterback of the LA Rams. I told you the Rams are playing the Packers. This one is in LA. The Rams are an 8.5-point favorite in what should be a very high-scoring game. The over-under is 56.5. Jared Goff, $6,000. He's the 8th most expensive quarterback for Sunday's slate. You look at who the most expensive quarterback is. It's Patrick Mahomes at $7,000. You know, not a big difference between $6,000 and $7,000. But hey, sometimes that extra $1,000 can go a long way in one of your other positions. So I'm taking Jared Goff. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Aaron Rodgers and Goff are going to try to keep up with each other. And you know the Rams. They like to score 35 points a game. And they're at home. And it's going to be beautiful weather Sunday. 85 and sunny. The thing I will say about this game is that Green Bay's pass defense is actually pretty good. Actually pretty good pass defense. But I guess I'm just chalking it up to the Rams' offense is so good that they're going to put up points, meaning that Aaron Rodgers is going to air it out. And maybe they put up some points too, and this is a shootout. The over-under doesn't lie at 56.5, and these two guys exchanging blows. So I got to have Jared Goff at $6,000 Sunday in my DraftKings lineup. Again, go to DraftKings.com or download the DraftKings app and use promo code PICK, P-I-C, when you sign up to play for free with your first deposit. Jared Goff is my DraftKings. Got to have him play for week 8 on Sunday. Which brings me to the moment you've all been waiting for. Picks for week number 8. Let's not waste any more time. Hit the music. Picks for week 8 as part of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge is presented by Bet Online. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, betonline.ag. AG. I am 22-13 on the season. We're just picking straight up winners. That's my record, 22-13. I went 3-2 last week. The week before that, I had a perfect 5-0 week. Let's get back to being perfect, shall we? Pick number one. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs over the Denver Broncos. This game Sunday at 1 in Kansas City. Now, the Chiefs are a 10-point favorite at home, but this is a rematch from Week 4. Kansas City went into Denver and beat the Broncos 27-23. This was a tough game for the Kansas City Chiefs. They had to come back and score two late touchdowns in the fourth quarter just to win and escape Denver with a win. So this could be a close one. I'm not telling you to take the points, but I am telling you to take Kansas City to win. They're coming off a big win over Cincinnati on Sunday Night Football, in which they sent a message to the rest of the league saying, we are for real. The Chiefs lose to the Patriots, and then they have a bounce-back win like that. They scored 45 on the Bengals. They beat the Bengals 45-10. They embarrassed the Bengals, and that's a good Bengals team. So they sent the message. That was a statement to the league. The Chiefs said, we're for real. We already knew the Chiefs are for real. The question is, what are the Broncos? The Broncos are 3-4. They're coming off a win over the Arizona Cardinals. That's not saying much. The Cardinals are terrible. That was on Thursday Night Football last week, so Denver has extra time to prepare for this rematch. But if they couldn't win this game in their own building, what makes you think they're going to go into Kansas City and beat this Chiefs team? They're not going to do it. Chiefs are going to be 7-1 when this thing is all said and done. Give me Kansas City over Denver Sunday at 1 in Kansas City. I'm taking the Chiefs to win that game. Then I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This game is Sunday at 1 in Cincinnati. The Bengals are a 4-point favorite. Now, the Bengals are 4-3. They're sort of licking their wounds after back-to-back losses to Pittsburgh and Kansas City. I just told you about their loss to Kansas City last week, 45-10 on Sunday Night Football. So they were embarrassed. When you're embarrassed like that and you lose two straight and you're a good team, well, I think that this could be very bad timing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are 3-3. They're coming off an overtime win over the Cleveland Browns. But the story with Tampa Bay is that they have the worst defense in football, one. Two, Jameis Winston, who's now their quarterback once again. He's a turnover machine. Jameis Winston has thrown 6 interceptions in the 3 games that he's played. So, a turnover machine. They have the worst defense in football. The Bengals, they were just embarrassed. They have the firepower to, in their own building, beat Tampa Bay. They're a 4-point favorite. They should do it. Give me Cincinnati to snap a 2-game losing skid and get their 5th win of the season. I'm taking the Bengals over the Buccaneers Sunday at 1. And Cincy, then I'm taking the Chicago Bears over the New York Jets. This is Sunday at 1 in Chicago. The Bears are a 7.5-point favorite. The Bears are coming off a loss to the New England Patriots. Now, the Bears are 3-3. They're in a 4-team battle. 4 teams in the battle for first place in the NFC North. You have the Minnesota Vikings at 4-2. You got the Packers at 3-2-1. And you got the 3-3 Lions. So the Bears are 3-3. They're in a battle in that division. Now, the Bears have actually lost 2 straight games. That weird game against the Dolphins, right? In which it was in overtime. Drake fumbles at the goal line and thinking, hey, the Bears are going to win this one. They end up losing that game. Then they lose to the Patriots. But still, they looked okay against the Patriots, even in a loss. Khalil Mack is banged up. But I still think they have enough to be able to beat the Jets at home. I really do. The Jets are coming off a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. The Jets have played 3 straight home games. Now they go on the road. This is another one that just could be bad timing for a New York team that's on the road against the Chicago Bears team that is looking to snap a 2-game losing skid. I'm taking the Bears to snap that skid and win this game. Give me Chicago over the Jets Sunday at 1 in Chicago. The Bears will win it. Then I'm taking the Washington Redskins over the New York Giants. This is Sunday at 1 at MetLife. Washington goes on the road. This is a pick'em. This is a pick'em. I told you before the season. What I tell you about Washington before the season? I said they are going to win the NFC East. A lot of people laughed at me. I looked at Alex Smith being a quarterback that does not turn the ball over. Adrian Peterson, you know, could he rediscover the fountain of youth? Yeah, looks like he has, right? What do you have, 100 rush yards against Dallas last week? Washington just beat Dallas last week. They've won two straight. And they're 4-2. They're in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. And who's laughing now about my Washington Redskins NFC East prediction? Nobody. They take on a Giants team that's horrible. The Giants are 1-6. They've lost four straight. They're coming off a 23-20 loss to the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta on Monday night. So it's kind of a short week for the Giants. And again, I think this one is as simple as Eli Manning's horrible, the Giants are brutal, and I think Washington is a legitimate first-place team in this league, in this division. Give me Washington on the road to beat the Giants in this pick'em Sunday at 1. And then my fifth and final pick for week number 8, it's my lock of the week. I'm taking the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football, and this is kind of stretching the boundaries of the rules in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Because you're only supposed to pick the Sunday games. And I know I've complained about this in previous weeks, that I'm looking at the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge standings at podcastonesportsnet.com, and I'm seeing other people picking from the Monday night games and Thursday night games just because they're easy picks, even though that's breaking the rules. So if everybody else is going to break the rules, why can't I as well? I'm doing it this week. I'm taking the Monday game. I'm taking the Patriots. It is laughable to think that the Patriots, as a 14-point favorite on the road in Buffalo, it's laughable to think that the 5-2 Patriots are going to lose to the 2-5 Bills. Even though it's in Buffalo, even though the Bills will probably be jacked up on primetime, here's the deal. The Bills are no good. Veteran quarterback, veteran backup quarterback, Derek Anderson will make the start under center for the second straight week. Josh Allen is hurt. So, I just think, you know, the Bills don't have enough firepower to keep up with the Pats. You know, LeSean McCoy is in concussion protocol as I record this on Thursday morning. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but even if he does, let's say he plays. Let's say he's completely healthy. It's still not enough firepower to beat the Patriots. Again, Patriots a 14-point favorite. They are coming off a big win over the Chicago Bears. I'll call it a big win, even though the defense didn't look good. Even though, you know, they didn't have Gronk. It's a big win because you go on the road in Chicago. I still think that's a tough game for them. And they end up figuring out a way to escape Chicago with a win. So the Patriots right now, I think they've proven and established themselves as one of the best teams in the league once again. And I think the Bills have established themselves as one of the worst teams in the league once again. The Patriots will not lose this one. It's a lock, so I'm taking them. Pats over the Bills on Monday night as my lock of the week in week 8. So those are my picks. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Chicago, Washington, and New England. Picks for week 8 as part of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge is presented by BetOnline. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, betonline.ag. So that is the show for you today. I'm hoping to record something out in L.A. on either Saturday or Sunday, and I'll pump that out to you. So make sure you subscribe to the show at Podcast One, also on iTunes or Spotify. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all forms of social media. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I think the next time I talk to you, the Red Sox will be World Series champs. They will be. They'll win this thing in 5. But until next time, I'm out. Talk to you soon.